To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kite, Notre Dame fans tearing their beer. Bama fans going, whoo! Although a lot of folks felt that Bama was too big to fail. And by moving them up to 9, after squeezing out that win in the Iron Bowl, Abe, that the committee was kind of prepositioning Alabama to not be punished if they lost. But to lose as bad in the SEC championship for Bama as Texas Tech destroyed BYU in that atmosphere at Jerry World. But no, Bama's a different brand. With all due respect to BYU, you're not Bama.
No, it was interesting, and I know BYU's situation was different because they would not have been in anyways because of where they were ranked and all that.
Strength of schedule, the whole shebang.
But the fact that they dropped out and Bama didn't drop at all, and by the way, Ohio State wasn't penalized either. Now, obviously they lost, they had to flip, and we'll talk about it. I wasn't surprised, but I don't know how they remained 2. They should have been behind Georgia, in my opinion.
Well, that was, I mean, you know, the old adage was, you know, don't lose late, you know, and that if you're going to lose early. And I thought, you know, Georgia basically they avenged the loss at Sanford Stadium. They destroy Alabama, not even close. And Ohio State, you know, they missed a botch of field goal. They really couldn't get their offense on track. Indiana's defense was really strong all day. I just felt, man. And by the way, there was holding both ways. Ohio State was those Big Ten. You almost have a refs and officials letting the game play. Mm. That was the Indiana-Ohio State game. There was holding all over the place. But the Ohio State Buckeyes, I'm with Abe. And I'm kind of disappointed that it doesn't ultimately set up, and I think they did themselves a disservice by not having, you know, put maybe a rematch. I guess they want to avoid that. We got rematches up the yin-yang in this college football playoff, a potential Georgia-Ole Miss rematch.
Yeah.
I would like to have seen Georgia maybe have the potential to play Ohio State in the title. That would have been a rematch in that bracket with Indiana. Not the case. Georgia, if they hold serve, they will play Ohio State at some point.
Let me ask you this question about the seedings and the bracket. Would you have been okay if the committee vocally came out and said, we changed our rankings to avoid rematches?
Yes. I got no problem.
Because if they had moved Ole Miss and Texas A&M, or what? I don't have the rankings in front of me. Just to vocally admit, like, you're still hosting a home playoff game, you're still in the playoffs, but if Ole Miss is 7 and Texas A&M is 6, you get 2 new matchups, right? Ole Miss would be playing, hosting Miami instead of a rematch there, or is Oklahoma-Alabama's a rematch? There are ways that you could say, look, you're still in, but we're going to rearrange it. I know they do that in college basketball a little bit, even though they don't tell you. I think we all would have been okay, because I'm with you. I don't want to sit here and watch that rematch, and then say Ole Miss wins. Now we have the Georgia rematch.
We got Alabama's already played Oklahoma. Of course, Venables came up with that great game plan you just talked about, Bryant Denny. We already saw Tulane, Ole Miss. It'll be interesting. Miami and A&M, and style makes the fight. We'll see that A&M team. I mean, they've been so good. Elko's trying to avoid that doubt that crept in last year, and this isn't last year's team. But man, the way they lost to Texas, they just
looked like last year's team against South Carolina in that first
half.
They
sure did.
My goodness.
But Miami Hurricanes. Do you trust Carson Beck going into College Station? No.
We've seen what that defense can do to opponents' quarterbacks. And we've seen, not just here anymore, by the way, Mike, not just here, in Miami too.
All right, you got to stop yelling.
I'm sorry, I got excited.
Dude, all right, Oren, please. Is it just me? Is it just me? I mean, my God, man. Now, I turn, what I do is when I speak, I turn my headphones up so I can hear me, and I turn it down. And then you just, wah! No, it's not your fault. It's the way God made you. You've got like a subwoofer in your Adam's apple.
It's unbelievable. When I talk college football. No, that's where the congested.
You are a force of nature. Congested by the way, something. Sidebar. This is a sidebar that I did last week, which had Chris flummoxed. We're in the middle of a heated argument about Arthur Blank and the Falcons and his role. And then we're in the middle of the show at Twin Peaks on Friday in Buckhead. And in the middle of this heated argument, all of a sudden, the server brings boneless nuggets. And I got to be honest, it threw me for a loop. I mean, where
did he start eating them in segment?
No, he wouldn't. He's a pro. But it's just the concept of boneless chicken nuggets.
I mean, I had to learn the hard way with Randy.
Where did the audience fall on that? Because Day-Day did a last-minute sort of poll question. And, you know, me, I'm like a 12-year-old, or something gets in my head, it's, you know, oh, bird, distraction, you know, squirrel. In the case right now of you, it's your voice. But on Friday, it was those chicken nuggets, boneless, no disrespect. We got some great sponsors, and they all serve them, and people love them. Otherwise, they wouldn't make them. But I'm a chicken wing man, bone-in wings.
I got to defend the boneless here for a moment. When I am producing the show with Andy and Randy, I go bone-in. Right? Regular traditional wings. If I'm hosting, I think to get it all gone in the break, you kind of have to.
No, because bone-in is a commitment. You're going to be greasy. You're going to have stuff on your fingers, and you're going to press buttons, etc. Where do our listeners fall on this one, David?
Oh, it's going to be bad. I already know.
65%? No.
No.
No to the
boneless. Honestly, that's a little closer than I would have thought.
Yeah. I mean, well, the world is changing. Some guys, I guess for some millennials, bone-in wings are too labor-intensive. But anyway, we appreciate you guys listening and responding. Abe and I just joked around. If you're just tuning in, more on the Falcons. We'll spend next segment on your phone calls, 404-726-0929. Are you like me at the end of your rope? Because, and I said this earlier, I've been holding on to the tickets, and I haven't decided to sell them. And now, like, my finger finally, the button went down. So I listed them today. I did list them. More on that coming up later in the week. We'll see where it goes. But getting back to the college discussion, we'll get your calls on the Falcons. Getting back to the college discussion, Georgia has a culture. Georgia, it's like Kirby's got this thing cooking. I love the sound bites from Kirby talking about his team. Let's run through some of the highlights from the SEC championship, starting with a huge momentum shift with the block punt.
Special teams players has a rich history in the SEC championship game. Right on cue. Georgia with the block. Bouncing around and fielded inside the 25. Kirby Smart had a feeling.
It's nice to have a special teams unit advance your team's chances of winning, isn't it, Mike?
Right.
Feels good, doesn't it?
No, I mean,
momentum changes games, you know?
Like when you have special teams that function as a unit, like it works. And that was great to see. Let's hear the interception. I thought, you know, Dalen Everett, one of the highly recruited corners, and that great young secondary for Georgia.
Simpson looking that direction. Now back across the middle. High throw. Intercepted. Picked off. Dalen Everett with a dog with a stiff arm. Takes it back into Alabama territory. A flag down at the end of the play.
But again, Georgia's defense making plays. They got so much better. I know I said to you to start the program, Glenn Schumann, we said, I'm not sold on him. Is he as good as Lanning? Does Kirby have to replace his assistants? Bobo's been great. Schumann's been amazing. And to have this maturation process, you'll hear Kirby talk about in a second. And that was something. One of my other beefs with Bobo, I do have a beef. It's more Branch. Zach Branch needs to get that ball 10 times a game. And when they were having their lulls, I'm screaming at the TV, get it to Branch. Well, they got it to Branch here.
Branch. Trying to find some space, and scores! The Dogs deliver the dagger!
Yeah, look, I mean, with respect to what Nate Frazier does from the backfield, it just getting the ball into Branch's hands at any part of the field, he's so dangerous. We saw that against Georgia Tech, saw it again on Saturday, and you've got to account for him, and that's going to open things up, especially for the tight ends in the middle of the field, if you're all streaming because it looks like he's going to catch a short pass. What about the last three quarters for Georgia against Bama? If you go back to the game they lost, remember they held Bama scoreless in that second half, and then these three quarters here, just pure dominance over the course of those 90 minutes of game action.
I love the audio from Kirby, starting off with the future of nine conference games, because now we're looking at ACC. You brought it up earlier, need to be on the same sheet music for everybody in college football.
Look, guys, both those teams tonight were beat up. I mean, you guys need to do a deep dive and deep study, and I'm going to jump on a soapbox now because I'm going to take your question and run with it, but I want to give you a hypothetical, okay? That was the ninth game of our SEC schedule, right? So now just imagine that was the ninth game of the season for everybody in the SEC, and everybody played another SEC game. Now, I'm not saying it was on this week. I'm saying it was on a previous week. So that's eight more losses, right? 16 teams. It's eight more losses in our league. So one team, two teams. Let's say this last weekend it was Oklahoma and Ole Miss or whoever hadn't played yet. They played and they got losses. And then they're going to go to the SEC championship and play another game. Those two teams were beat up tonight, and that was the ninth game of the year. And we're looking at next year having another game. I mean, the coaches in our league are concerned about it, very concerned about it, and I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't speak my piece and say that it's concerning. Because
as a Nick Saban-like stump, he's using his pulpit to explain how he feels. Are you buying what Kirby's saying? Here's a ninth game. These guys are walking wounded out there.
I understand the premise. I don't really buy it because in his mind, he's not taking away the game they're not playing. It's not playing an extra game. You're just changing the quality of the opponent. And yes, right. It's easier against a lesser opponent to maybe not get hurt and rest your guys,
but again,
stuff like that.
My beef is also, and he's talking more about the physical toll on the players. If the next version of the College Football Playoff Committee, which changes year to year, doesn't value strength of schedule, what's the point? You know, because the Big Ten is so top-heavy and the SEC is so fundamentally more sound head to toe. Here's some audio from Kirby talking about Glenn Schumann. And I just mentioned how good, and I said it, I was not sold earlier in the season. He's made a believer out of me.
They're getting better. Young kids are growing up. You know, there's a lot of naysayers out there for Schumann and his staff, and they never flinched. They kept getting better, kept growing the players, and they played really well tonight.
Schumann's done a hell of a job. I hope you know, again, because the hiring cycle looks like he'll still be here in Athens, but that's the kind of job he's done this year, which gets you a head coaching job.
You're talking about, Mike, a unit that looked like it was going to be the big preventative side of you winning a national championship this year, Georgia.
Right.
I mean, you look through five or six games up through the halftime of that Ole Miss game, you're like, boy, I don't know if Georgia can win a championship with this unit. And ever since then, not only can they win a championship with that unit, they might be winning it partially because of that unit. That's how good the Georgia defense has been, the pass rush, the pressure, the back end, all of it, the tackling from the linebackers. I mean, Simpson rolled out to the left, and I forget the youngster who chased him down. Running with NFL speed down there. I mean, those guys, the midseason change from what they were to what they are now is as big as I've seen under any Kirby Smart unit his entire time at Georgia.
And we also spent a lot of time talking about Drew Bobo's injury, and certainly they did a nice job, and Zachary did a great job as far as filling in. One more nugget from Kirby. Defense definitely had a chip, speaking of which, from the Bama loss. They shut him down to Abe's point in the second half, but here's Kirby talking about his D.
Oh, it was a huge difference. It was a domination on that side of the ball, and a lot of it came with a chip on their shoulder from the last one, and it came on a chip on their shoulder from improving. We told them after that game that there wasn't a lack of execution in that game at home. They outplayed us, they out-executed us, and they probably out-coached us, and we weren't going to let that happen again in terms of the way we played with.
It wasn't just the defense, though, that had the chip on the shoulder. I think it was everyone, and I think it includes Kirby Smart, who had the chip on their shoulder. This is a team that beat you in your house.
Right.
And now you got – how often, Mike, do you have a chance to right those wrongs in season? Doesn't happen that often. It does for Georgia.
And certainly you could have argued that, you know, did they get a little too cute with some of the play calling in the Alabama game, you know, the Cash Jones throw. And, again – you had guys, it was an Overton that blew that one up in that game. He was out with an injury. Bama had some injuries. You heard on the flip side, Kalen DeBoer talking about how banged up his squad is, making the argument for them. And the committee was never going to keep Bama out. One last Kirby cut. This is my fave. Asking his team, hey, anybody in this room beat Bama?
And think about those players that Drew talked about and had their coaches come talk about. Dylan Bell scores touchdown tonight, huge in the game. Daylon Everett gets interception, huge in the game. And then Cole Spear blocks the punt. And Oscar played well also. And, you know, before he finished, he said, you know, stand up if you've beaten Alabama in a game. And none of them stood up.
Let me ask you a quick question, Mike.
Make it quick. The music's
coming
playing.
Off of Georgia Tech, there were some concerns about the offense, it felt like.
Right.
Is that gone now after 28
points?
I just
think, and I said Zachariah, I butchered the name. It is Malachi Tolliver. Sorry, Malachi did a great job. They look so – it's almost like they shut it down because Georgia Tech was getting what they wanted. They weren't going to risk him trying to drop back and pass because it was just – as I said, it just looked very old school, like 1950s offense. Either way, it flourished against Alabama. Gunner did a great job. Three touchdowns. Not didn't get to like 200 yards, but the win is the win. Hey, guys, Falcon fans, back on the Falcon track. First time I can honestly say as a fan this season – It looks like the coaching staff's message fell on deaf ears. Now, granted, the special teams coaching staff, that message has been falling on deaf ears all season. But the Falcons, you felt they quit? It looked like it to me at Mercedes-Benz. 404-726-0929. Where you at? Abe says some folks aren't coming back if they don't make big changes on the coaching staff and maybe the GM.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You, Abe, is Abe Gordon's in for Carl Dukes today on Dukes and Bell. Maybe the wrong time to get Tampa Bay after they just blew it, I would say, against the Saints. And
in the words of Raheem Morris, Mike, it's irrelevant.
Okay. Well, he was asked by the media about support from Arthur Blank, and I've asked him a few times. He's never going to tell us what goes on in private conversations between him and the owner, but he did say that Arthur Blank is 100% in support. Take a listen. We actually have the audio, Oren. Here is the coach asked that question earlier today at Falcons headquarters in Flower Branch, Georgia.
Arthur Blank, I'm talking to him about what happened, you know, what our plan was. He knows it. Like, we give it to him. We talk about it before the game. I think it's something that I love to be able to do with him, just to show him what the plan is so he's not sitting in the box wondering what's going on. And then after the game, we can clearly say and sit there in front of each other and just tell what we didn't get executed, or we did get executed to win a football game. And, like, those are the important things to me. Like, I'm not there selling Arthur on whatever his decisions are. I got to make my own decisions and go find out what we need to do to win football games. I think that's the most important.
Oof, okay. If I'm Arthur, I mean, that's – what is the plan? What is the plan? What's the plan? What is that plan? Where is that plan? Why are special teams continuing to be a nightmare and you can't fix it? Week after week after week.
Is that part of the plan?
Is that part of the plan? To have an area of your team which continues to cost you games, field position, momentum, and this time it maybe cost you the effort of your own players because some of the guys who do their job finally said, I'm out. I'm frustrated. I mean, it sure as hell looked like that to me. I was looking right down the line at the bench.
Do you think Arthur asked him, like, hey, why aren't you getting rid of these coaches right now? Why is it that we only had one coach get fired so far?
And Arthur knows Marquise because it's a family, and Marquise has been here for two different coaching staffs. As if you don't know, Raheem inherited him from Arthur Smith's staff. And as we said, it's not personal, guys. It's freaking business. You know that. And we also had another coach that was part of a dysfunctional part of the team let go. I was told it was performance-based by the coach. That's all I can base my opinions on. Is there anything more performance-based than how poorly our special teams is? I mean, as far as evaluating that coach.
If you can circle an aspect of your team, whether it's player, coaching, whatever, that's not doing the job, you need to make changes. You need to address it. And it seems very simple to me that special teams, that whole unit, is the aspect that needs to be circled. But no changes seem to be made. They're not addressing. And again, season's over in terms of playoffs. And so maybe it's just this, we're headed to the holidays, and I'm not going to ruin this guy's life a month earlier than I have to.
And that's appreciate that. As we said, these guys make decent coin, but hey, it's just it's week after week after week. If I'm Arthur Blank, the first thing I ask, in our interview with Raheem, we'll be up there tomorrow. Mike Johnson in for Carl on Mike and Friends here on Dukes and Bell. Let's go to the phones. Guys are hot. Falcons are now officially out of the playoffs. It was 1% chance to make the playoffs going into yesterday. Now it's 0. Keaton's in Douglasville. Hey, man, you're on Dukes and Bell. What's up, Kate?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I'm going to get to this real quick. Abe, to your point, man, I'm already there. Like, I don't care what they do for the rest of the season. I don't care if they fire anybody. I don't care if they fire anybody the day after the season's over. I'm not buying any of the hype anymore. I'm going to be a negative Nancy all off season. None of that. It's a new season crap. I don't want to hear it again. They disappointed me one too many times. I'll be there once they prove it consistently. And even, I mean, of the possible available coaches this offseason, none of them scream winner to me anyways. And even if they did, is Atlanta being as miserable as it has been a desirable job for anyone? I'll hang up and listen.
Well, they always say there's only 32 of them, and you could argue that, guys, there's always somebody who can fix things. I mean, look at Detroit. I was joking around. We were at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Friday. There was a Lions fan. His daughter just moved down here from Michigan, and dad had come down and literally move her in the U-Haul and all that. And he was saying the same thing. Everything we were talking about, he goes, that was them. The Lions went through that for almost decades. You know, bad general managers, bad hires, bad coaches. And then you get a guy in Dan Campbell that we all laughed at because he sounded like a caveman.
Kneecaps and right, barking like a dog
but
and all that.
They got the right guy. And who would have thought you could turn it around in Detroit? And they're
with
doing
Jared
it now.
Goff.
Right, and they're doing it. So, I mean, it can be fixed. The key is you've got to get Rich McKay out of the equation. It's got whoever the general manager comes in, you hire the general manager first, and then you hire the coach. And the general manager hires the coach he wants, and you let him run this thing, for better or for worse. And I know the guys get mad when I talk about this. Rich has been involved. Rich is Arthur's guy. And if he's not, call me a monkey's uncle, okay? I mean, there's a constant in the equation, and you continue struggling, you got to change it up.
Yeah, I do want to attack that one point from Keaton. I don't think you keep Raheem Morris because there doesn't seem to be the right guy out there. I think you look at the equation. Unless you believe Raheem can get it turned around, then what are we doing?
You have to
at least give
right.
someone the chance
and
to be the right guy.
If you look, I mean, the special team situation is the perfect example if he's not the guy for the job. Jimmy Lake, you had a chance. Raheem, and we've said this, I know you've mentioned this before, when you work solo, everybody was lobbying for coach. You know, all the elites, the Tony Dungys and all the guys that knew the guy from his career, saying that, hey, this guy deserves a second chance. Look what he did with the Rams defense. He got his second chance, and he blew it. You hired Jimmy Lake. He'd never been at D.C., and it showed. He had to take it over. Zach may be a great guy with a veteran, but he's not the guy for a young quarterback.
Well, the question now remains, you gave Raheem an opportunity to change the defensive coordinator. He brings in Ulbrich, and that feels like a pretty solid move, although in recent weeks I know the defense has come up a little bit short. There are varying reasons for that. Do you give Raheem the opportunity to correct some of the other decisions he made, retaining Marquise Williams
No, the die is,
I'm with you.
The die is cast. Like I don't have any patience. And if I'm Arthur Blank and I'm 81, my patience is at an end. Okay? I need a championship here. First things first, I need to win more games than lose, and I got to be in the playoffs. I mean, there's got to be a sense of urgency in this offseason. To roll back that same – I'm sorry, and look, it's for the fifth time. It's not friggin' personal. We asked Raheem tough questions. We'll try tomorrow, get some answers. And if Arthur Blank is satisfied with this, well, then it's worse than I thought. If Arthur Blank brings Raheem Morris back next year, then it is worse than some Falcon fans like me think it is.
By the way, it's this bad, Mike, in probably still the NFL's worst division.
And that's the worst part of this. We just saw the Bucs lose. If you had gone 10-7, you might have had like a 2-game advantage to win this division. You know, we knew we were going to take some lumps with a young quarterback. All the stuff about, well, you know, and it goes back to Fontenot because the Cousins Penix Jr. thing will go down in NFL history as one of the stupidest moves that's ever been made, and it's playing itself out. No, this redundancy, you know, we got the safety net. No, we got nothing. Let's go to the phones. Williams in Smyrna. Sorry, William. Hey, man, you're in the game on Dukes and Bell. What you got?
What's up, brother? I was just calling in, man. I'm a just going to shoot some names out at y'all. I'm glad that everybody's trying to get some change going on. But, you know, I'm going to throw some names out there just for a couple of head coaches and even offensive coordinator positions. And I'll just let y'all think about it. I'm not saying that I would hire them.
Who? Say it. Spill it. Say it. Who?
Brian Flores.
Okay.
Jim Bob Cooter.
Okay.
Mike LaFleur. Joe Brady. And one name I don't want to say, but I have to say because he comes from a great culture, in Robert Saleh from the 49ers.
He had his chance with the Jets. If you believe that, and I appreciate the call, man. If you believe that Saleh, you know, learned like Belichick learned, some guys get their chance and they don't learn. I think Raheem's an example of that. You know, everybody felt Raheem got jobbed by the Glazer family. You know, okay, so what are you doing with your second chance at this? You're bringing untested pieces on your staff. That's a mistake. Real quick, to his Brian Flores is at Minnesota. I like Brian Flores. I mean, the fact that he's so good a coach, he didn't get blackballed after making the allegations, which are still, by the way, stuck in court. Players Association, and I forget who's running that, but the NFL is continuing to try to stall and change their tactics on that one, not to get Flores and people in open court about what happened in Miami. But either way, Flores is one. I'm not so impressed with Joe Brady and the way they mishandled James Cook.
Right.
Amongst other things in Buffalo.
And just to be clear, all three of those names, those are not guys you're bringing in as coordinators. Those have to be head coaches. Yeah. And so the other thing is with a guy like Saleh, and even with a guy like Raheem, and we've seen it, sometimes guys are just better as coordinators. And it's okay to be at that level. That's not a bad living to be one of the best defensive or offensive coordinators in the NFL and just never have the head coaching success. And unfortunately for Saleh, and it feels like for Raheem, who's going to be fine, he's going to get another job with another organization. I have no question about that. Maybe the coordinator spot is just as good as it gets for them.
I know that every year there's always a question from – it's funny. We get this all the time. Who? Where? How? You find guys. Okay, you find people. Well, as we said, Sean, look out the way Sean McVay is like meteoric rise and success. You hopefully get that lightning in a bottle. You know, McDonald with Seattle. We just got a personal lesson in how good he's doing up there. He interviewed for this job here. Do you agree with it that they maybe got scared off of him because they didn't want to go with an untested, unproven coach on the heels of another coach who'd never done it?
I was going to ask you a similar question just in the realm of does it need to be one of these, quote, old heads?
Right.
And I never really considered Raheem an old head because his previous runs – have been relatively short and without any sustained level of success. It feels different than the suggested names of Gruden, McCarthy, Rex Ryan, like some of the guys who had done it for a much longer period of time.
I know that some of the names you're going to hear right now that are hot. Chris Shula, he replaced Raheem with the Rams as the DC. Clint Kubiak, that's Gary Kubiak's son, is the OC in Seattle. You just saw his handiwork, folks, with Sam Darnold. So just two names off the top of your head. Joe Brady, you mentioned. Jesse Minter is the Chargers DC. But again, that's why the last thing Arthur wants is like, yes, let me have another prostate exam, please, and let me have some root canal on top of that. Let me go through the entire coaching search, which is, you know, ripping the Band-Aid off. And then we haven't even talked about what are you going to do in the front office? Gets me back to find somebody who's mopping floors in Philadelphia working with Howie Roseman and get him.
I know
that's what's a place to start.
I know we're running out of time this segment. The other question that's going to have to be considered, and again, this is not a reason to just blindly keep Raheem Morris. There are going to be a couple open jobs. There already are a couple. There'll be a couple more. Where are you going to rank among those jobs?
Well, I mean, the Chargers job, having Justin Herbert and being in Los Angeles, was more attractive to Jim Harbaugh.
Right, sure.
And I don't know if having Rich McKay hanging around or if he felt he wouldn't have autonomy, because he got into it in San Francisco. He always wanted to be the big, you know, like the big grand poobah to run everything, personnel and coaching. Some guys can pull that off. Like Belichick did it for years until he lost his fastball.
Are you a better job than the Giants?
Push?
At best?
I don't know. I mean, like,
maybe, I don't know.
I mean, you got some young stars on this team on both sides of the ball that we're not utilizing properly. But you got to have a quarterback. You know, you're going to have a gap year with your quarterback. We have no idea what Penix is going to be. Hey, man, that's Abe in for Carl. We'll get more of your phone calls, guys, in the Falcons next hour. Next, though, some guy talk. Guess who got invited into the suite? Me. Not worthy. Suite etiquette. I want to run some things by Abe. And I want to ask you guys, is college football on Fox the worst thing in the world? I think so.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Where the players play. Man, I did see some. Oh, look at that. A large fiery ball now descending, not up high in the sky, but sunshine. Man, I don't know about you guys. Sometimes when the weather's like it is with other things like the Falcons playing like they did, it's downright depressing. I mean, I've always said to Andy, I couldn't imagine living in Seattle and dealing with all that. You know, that misty rain every day. You know, the dogs want to go out. I'm like, it's freaking pouring out. I don't know. It gets me down, man. Rainy days and Mondays today, we got a little sunshine poking through.
I don't know.
Doesn't do it to you? Don't bother you? Well, you get. Well,
I've lived in some real bad weather spots,
right,
too.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, I ain't going back north. I'm never going back north.
Yeah, and that's what I meant. Like, I would kind of take this over what we had to deal with. When I lived in Cleveland, it was like, people function in this? It's negative 19. What are we doing?
Yeah, man. Snow. Now, the only thing that's cool about snow is when you're a kid, because you make a fortune. Now, nowadays, people have snow blowers. I don't think teenagers would be wanting to do that. But we used to make anywhere from $500 to a grand. If it was a snow day in school, me and like a team, like three buddies, and I mean, we were like a production line. Somebody goes and rings the doorbell, the other guy's working the driveway, working the front stoop, and day-to-day, it was a great way to make some cash. I mean, when you're like, you're 13 or 14, you have $500, giddy up. You know, good coin.
Yeah, definitely. I grew up in Connecticut for a little while, and so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Where have you not lived, dude? New York, California.
I never lived in New York.
I was like witness relocation program with my radio, because radio is a gypsy existence. You know, you kind of work all over the place like a baseball player.
Yeah.
Climb the minors to the majors, and that's why, you know, I've been blessed thanks to you guys and Carl as well for making Atlanta our home.
Yeah.
But where haven't you lived, man?
It's only three states: Connecticut, California, and here.
Okay.
But you know, living in Connecticut, I was West Connecticut, so we were all of our like media, everything was New York related.
Right.
Yeah,
the Quinnipiac River is the dividing line between Red Sox and Yankees.
Yep.
It's like the Fox River in Wisconsin divides Chicago and Packers fans. Have you ever been up that neck of the woods? It's true. I had a good friend of mine, Casper, has a house on the Fox River, which is a big wild scene in the summer. And you drop out of Chicago, we flew into O'Hare. We're driving up, and it's all bears, and you see a sprinkling of yellow, and then boom. It just drops. It's all cheeseheads, and then you're up there, which was the game we had this weekend.
Yeah, so for us, you know, outside of, you know, being able to root for the Hartford Whalers, because we were so close to Connecticut, we rooted for Jersey and New York-related teams.
Who's your college team back then?
That would have been the Notre Dame, actually, back then.
Ah, like my dad. Yeah. My dad was one of those guys I called the sidewalk alum. My dad loved Notre Dame, and he tried to impress upon me his love, and I just never got it. First time I went to South Bend, the grotto, touchdown Jesus, the whole show. I get it, but the people were snooty. And that's not how Newt Rodney planned it out back in the old days. The joke was Notre Dame had to go up against the establishment East Coast schools. They were the plucky underdog Irish. Now these people think their stuff don't stink. And that's why nobody likes them. And that's why when they took their ball and went home, it was so typical of Notre Dame. Georgia, faced with the same dilemma, decided to play in the Orange Bowl. They've got a culture, guys. If you don't know about culture, you don't get it. They have one. Florida State, for instance, has no culture. That decision by the College Football Playoff Committee basically ruined Florida State, as far as we know it. Norvell has never come back from it. Now, in the case of Notre Dame, they get $50 million a year from NBC until 2029. They feel they don't have to be in a conference. As a matter of fact, they already got a special dispensation from the committee that next year they're in the playoff if they're in the top 12. And that's why people don't like you, because there's always a sense of entitlement. And if I can go further, Abe, feel free to jump in when I get done ranting. Notre Dame got where they shouldn't have got a lot over the last 20 years. Not so much last year. Freeman's team was legit, and they deserved everything they earned. They were physical as a good squad to beat Georgia. But Brian Kelly's teams were never worth a damn and generally got smoked in semifinals or finals, like the year that Alabama toasted them in 12.
Yeah, I was at that game down in Miami. You know, if you remember... If I remember correctly, Alabama and Georgia played in the SEC title game with the winner essentially advancing to...
Aaron Murray didn't call the timeout.
But it was that situation
I thought they were out of timeouts. All they could do was spike it.
But yeah. I have this meme that pops up on my Facebook memories every year around that time, where it's a big bad bulldog against a big bad strong elephant, and they're turning to an itty bitty little Notre Dame fighting Irish, and the meme says, "One of us will be with you in a moment."
Oh, the leprechaun, right.
Referring to the SEC title game, and whoever comes out of that is going to advance and absolutely obliterate Notre Dame. It would have been Georgia obliterating Notre Dame, and it would have been Bama who actually did obliterate Notre Dame. And the winner of that game, we already knew, was the real national champion.
Right. Whoever came out of that game, yeah. Orin, I want to say that's when Grantham couldn't stop the run game. It's like, maybe you want to put like eight guys in the box, just a thought.
They had some injuries late in that game, and they couldn't rotate guys in. So, yeah,
it was brutal. And then
Eddie Lacy, yeah.
The great debate was to spike the ball and try to organize. And Rick and Bubba, they decided to go for it right then. And that was one where that was Mark Rick's arguably best chance for a natty. It's Abe filling in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell. So I said it to Abe to start the show. Friday, I get a call from the boss, Mike Conti, and he goes, "Hey, sales wants you in the suite," because I always like to have somebody on air talent in the suite, and they never invite me in the suite because, you know, people like me, I never feel, I don't know, at home in a suite. I'm a man of the people, Abe. I like to be in the stands. 342 is my spot. But hey, boss said, we'll do it. Gave away my tickets thanks to the Gillespies. I put it out on Twitter Saturday. He was the first guy who responded. I said, done. So him and his son got my parking and my ticket, and they went and they enjoyed themselves, got to meet those guys. And we're up in the suite, which is in the end zone. So, you know, they don't really like you cussing. I really can't, not that I cuss like a sailor, but, you know, I was like, dropped a few expletives, and my boy Daryl Killings, like, "Well, I don't know if you can do that in the suite." Okay, yeah, I can't cuss. So can't cuss, strike one. The good news is they got unlimited booze, which is great, including some high-end. Henny, hey.
That might halt the can't cuss mindset. But, yeah. You know.
No, it's a cold beer. The thing with the food, and Ash, our sales manager, thanks for letting me in there. Data, have you ever been in the suite for a game? It's like you died and went to like sports bar heaven.
No, I've never been in our Falcon suite. Now, I've been in our Hawks suite before.
Yeah, chicken wings, chicken tenders.
Cabana.
Okay. But let me get rolling. But then they get to the other stuff. They had Moe's burritos. We had this giant, it was like, I don't know how to describe it. A stack of sandwiches that might have been 6 to 8 inches tall on pretzel bread, like to take your Kroger deli or Publix deli stacked high. And there was a guy from AARP, and me and Becky were looking at this thing, and the guy's like, "I don't know how to attack this." I'm like, "Me neither." So they went in, Becky and her, they started eating this thing. And by the time it was over, ready to leave, I was talking to another dude. I was like, "Man, is it bad form if I tried to get a trash bag and just took half the sandwich home?" I mean, I found out later that the food goes to a food bank. But, I mean, would look pretty Whiskey Tango if I just suddenly just see me put an arm and sweep it into a trash bag and I'm running out of club level with a gigantic Homer Simpson-sized sandwich? Probably bad form, right?
I don't know if they invite you back, Mike.
Yeah, that's bad form. I didn't do that.
Now,
thought about it.
A while ago on this show, you said you, quote, put on a display.
Yeah, I went to town.
So, lay this out for me.
I'm old school. I like to start with a classic hot dog or tube steak, as my dad called it.
There we go.
So they had footlongs with some spicy. You know what the mustard was, Data? They had Bijan's mustard.
Oh,
Bijan
nice.
Mustardson.
Okay.
Which is really tasty mustard, man. because I'm pretty old school with my mustard, like Gouda, spicy. But yeah, man, it's in a Bijan. So I went with some tube steaks. I went with some chicken tenders. Then I go on to the bone-in wings, burrito, one of those sandwiches, cookies up the yin-yang.
Bad guy.
I mean, it was on. Yeah. Washing it down with a ton of Stellas and a couple of Jack Daniels. Put on a display.
We have any
they yet? Lost money on me on Sunday.
Did we go any munchie route with popcorn or pretzels?
Pretzels, or? Crispy kettle chips. I mean, it's gold. And then I'm sitting there like, and I look over, Georgia Lottery was next to us. And Chris Draft does work with them. So Chris Draft's in there. I was like, hey, Chris, how's it going? It's like, they're like, just don't talk with your mouth full. But anyway, great times, a lot of fun. And it was nice meeting a lot of nice folks to spend money with. 92.9 The Game, Star 94, our sister stations, V103 and WAOK. It was very cool.
Now we just need the team to, you know, play up to
right
something we can get behind.
Over the weekend, and real quick, we had a chance years ago, before I go on this rant, Abe, got to meet when Gus, I think Gus was with ESPN Day-Day, Gus Johnson back in the day, and he was in town for a game, and Johnny Plops and I took him out. This is the old days of Lava Cosmo on 13th Street, Scotty McCray's place, and we hung out with Gus, had a great time. And that's when Gus, you know, he was doing college basketball, and he'd get excited, but he wasn't what he is now, which is constantly like at a 99. I mean, I get it. You want to be, that's his thing. He's kind of become the amped up dude. But you got to, I don't know, throttle it down at times. College football on Fox, and I'm not a big fan of Joel Klatt. I just missed Brad Nessler. I know ESPN's got everything else. But, man, do I miss the SEC championship with CBS, and I'm just not a fan of Fox College. To me, Fox College football, it's like a car that needs a wheel alignment. It's just not right. It just don't feel right.
I grew up in kind of that era where Gus Johnson was it, right? Like the excitement level. But it's just like Gus has become self-aware.
Right, like Joe Testator. Pollock and I were hanging out with Joe at Shula's at the old SEC Media Days in Hoover. And you'd hang out with Joe and Joe would come on the show. Yeah, guys, I think it's going to be a really good game. All of a sudden, Joe became like this, and now it's on. Texas Tech making a statement. Dude, geez, Louise, dial it back. Like you're chewing up scenery, man.
Well, the other problem is Gus is no longer saving the one call for the one moment. You're talking like early second quarter, he's giving you that level. And when it gets down to it late in the fourth quarter, there's no level to go to, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the problem. We interviewed Gus at a former job I was doing like 5 hours after he'd called a Showtime boxing match. And he woke up early to talk baseball with us. He grew up playing a catcher. I think he had some minor league time as a catcher. Fascinating guy. Made all that noise, literally and figuratively, in March Madness and some of the great calls there.
Legendary calls on CBS.
But basketball lends itself to moments differently than football, it feels like.
I just didn't bring it up to I mean, you got to start, it's like a slow burn. Bring it up to a crescendo. But that's just me. But I know I'm in the minority because everyone loves Gus going bananas and screaming. Speaking of screaming, let's hear from Fernando Mendoza, quarterback for Indiana. I think this guy's ready for the Vienna Boys Choir.
Oh, congratulations, Indiana, the Big Ten champs. How does that sound?
It sounds so beautiful. I want to give all the glory to God. We were never supposed to be in this position, but by the glory of God, the great coaches, great teammates, everyone we have around us, we were able to pull this off. Whoever thought the Hoosiers would be here, but now the Hoosiers are flipping champs. Let's go!
You guys call yourself a bunch of misfits who found the right home at Indiana. Why was this the right place for this group?
It's the right place for process-oriented. We're going day by day, whether it's the offensive line, the defense, the coaches, special teams. We're all process-oriented to one goal. That's our thing, is we're brothers. We can drag teams into the deep end because we know that we're going to stick together and we're the strongest glue ever.
All right. Now look, first off, I mean, good for him. He's got his faith, and there's so many athletes basing on faith, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he kind of went down that Tebow road back in the day. But, impressive story, amazing. He got him right off the field. He's amped up, and he's giving you the mission statement for Indiana right
there. Yeah, I think he was caught up in the moment and caught up in the excitement, no doubt about it. Hopefully he's a little bit more reserved when he gives his Heisman speech.
I always say, Dana, remember when Tebow lost to Ole Miss in the Swamp? It's like, nobody will ever work harder. And I always used to compare it to, I don't know if you ever did this, Abe, when you were a child, but maybe you ran home from somewhere and you get in the kitchen and you get the Kool-Aid out and you're like, what's going on? No, we were playing stickball and then the guys were chasing us and that's the way.
Thing I can kind of correlate it to, Mike, and you, we kind of joked about it earlier. You know, I watch a ton of track and field.
Yes.
And
I know you do.
They interview these athletes 18 seconds after crossing the finish line after they just ran an all out 400 or a straight sprint 800. And they have absolutely no breath. And they do the exact sort of, they do the exact same interview. Well, I just try to get off in the first 200. And then it just carried through the next 200. And the last 400, I was holding on. And it's the same idea.
Well, it's kind of, and you know, you love gymnastics, the Olympics. It's always funny when you see a guy who's got arms bigger than Hulk Hogan. And they talked to him. It's like, hey, yo.
By the way, I just got lightheaded doing that impression.
Abe's face is all flushed.
My status is not great.
By the way, I'm not freaking doing mouth to mouth. Okay, you're on your own over there. Day-Day, tag in on that.
No, I'm
but
good.
I always get the kick. You know, they always have the big guns and everything because they got to do the rings and all that.
Well, I was really excited with my floor exercise. If I could get the pommel horse, I think we could get the all-around bronze. It's like, wait, what? What? You just what? I mean, what? Just okay. All right, Jim Cotta, you go. Anyway, that's a Guy Talk today.
Oh, that's a good movie.
On a Monday, we're going to fire up the phones as always, guys. 404-726-0929. We're going to interview Coach Raheem Morris tomorrow. And I got to be honest, I mean, I feel like kicking a guy when he's down. I don't feel like doing that. We'll ask him some of the things that media asked him today. He says Arthur Blank's got his back. Does that mean he's back? That's what Abe is asking. And I got to be honest, I think that is the completely wrong approach for this Falcon squad. We'll talk about what happened, a game we were in, until special teams showed up, and then we weren't. It is Dukes and Bell with Abe. A reminder, guys, this hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Falcon Talk, your takes, too.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.